Hey everybody, Mikey over here, and today's episode is a repeat episode of the Assuming Positions podcast. I needed a break to get some medical issues taken care of, so we're doing a repeat episode, but things are good, and now I just look like a dog in a collar of shame. Anyway, this episode is a repeat of our conversation with Freddie Hines and Ivan Leroy from Joyride Entertainment, when we sat down with them at Anime Dallas 2019. It was a great conversation and a great convention, and we can't wait to get back to conventions in the future. So, until then, stay safe, stay healthy, and get to listening.
Please listen carefully.
And now, live from an airport commandeered by cosplayers, it's the Assuming Positions podcast, featuring two cartoon characters with overly animated mouths, Kevin and Mikey.
Hey everybody, Assuming Positions Podcast, Anime Dallas 2019 on the scene again. Kevin over here.
And Mikey over here.
And today, right now, we have two great guests, Freddie Hines and Ivan Leroy, are with us. Hey guys.
What's up?
Hello.
Hey, hey. Welcome and thank you for joining us.
Hey, we're happy to be here.
Freddie and Ivan are representatives of Joyride Entertainment here at Anime Dallas doing a panel that with their company JoyQuest Live. What is JoyQuest Live? Give us the rundown.
Well, JoyQuest is our D&D show that we stream live on Twitch on Saturday mornings at 9 a.m., although more like 9:15 a.m. because I'm trying to get there on time.
He's always like, at the start of every show, goes, guys, I'm going to grab some coffee, and it'll be like an hour later. It's become a meme with our audience now. We're never on time.
I'm working hard on that. I get up at 8 a.m. I actually do.
No, you say you're asleep, but you're telling me this on Twitter.
Uh-huh.
So you're not really sleeping. So like, if you're not sleeping, how do you get up and get started already?
I'm just too slow. I'm getting old.
And so the audience knows right away. We're like an old married couple. We've been working for 2 years. Yeah. All we do is argue.
That's kind of what we do.
There you go.
But that's why we know we're tried and true. We fought for this long. We're still together.
Like it's still a positive experience though, because like, you know, we rely on each other, and that's just kind of
exactly
how we do. You know, we produce and direct each other, even though he's more the director and I'm more the producer.
Okay.
But like with our Twitch show, like it's just a D&D live show. We have a good time. We are focused on like storytelling, but also really, like I said before in the panel, like improv with dice.
Yes.
Yep. That's how it was sold to me, because initially, because I'm the creative director of the YouTube channel, Joy Entertainment.
Cool.
And we wanted to extend our reach to Twitch. And how we did that, we figured we'd do Dungeons & Dragons. I was never into that. Because it was always high fantasy. Freddie tried showing me Critical Role.
Yeah, the first campaign.
And to me, as now, I'll say before, I'll preface this, I'm a huge fan of Critical Role now. But before, it was too high fantasy for me. I wasn't into that. More of a sci-fi guy.
No, yeah, me too.
I just didn't see the appeal, but then Freddie sold it to me as improv with dice. Because initially, I brought it back. This was before I met with Freddie.
Okay.
I had a whole different crew of people. We have so many writers and voice actors and comedians in our crew. I just asked around, I say, who likes Dungeons and Dragons? I gauge your interest. We want to do something new. I said, who likes this thing? And they all raise their hand and go, oh, I like this. Let's try that kind of show. So we got a crew together. They did a session zero, we call it. It was a pilot. It was a non-recorded pilot.
It was a disaster. Well, it can't be that bad. All pilots are supposed to be.
Exactly, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, so, go back and listen to. When you start listening to our podcast, please start listening in the past weeks and not when it started.
Yeah, we made the smart decision.
You'll be like, we were on their podcast? Oh, no.
We made the smart decision not to record that one.
Right.
But it has a happy ending, because those people who I hired to do that one, they've come back in our second season to be the main players. We try to mix and match our players every season, or even for one shot.
Gotcha.
That crew you saw for the one shot, that's not our crew this season.
Because we don't get to really play with these people as often. That's kind of like the theme. It's like we want to play with them again. But one of them was for our first campaign, which is Neomified BA.
Yep, she was in our season one. She was the main on that. And this year she couldn't make it. She just started university.
Oh, nice.
She plays Raven Cape last night.
So yeah, Raven Cape.
What you did at the panel here, that was a one shot.
Yep.
Right? And did you say that was the first time you ever did it in front of an audience?
Oh, yeah.
In front of an audience, yeah.
A live audience, I mean. Because, I mean, people
not our
are
first
watching.
Experience in front of an audience, but the first time playing D&D in front of an audience, for sure. Yeah.
So were all those characters original characters for that one shot?
Oh, yes. Except for Wolfram. Yeah. He has been appearing in a lot of other people's one-shots.
Because I took a picture of the screen, and we have Raven Cape, is that right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Spammy.
Looks like a kind of roguey.
Oh, Spammy. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Spammy. Who? Geez. What is he's like?
Spammy. He's like a cave dwarf.
Yeah.
A Duergar.
Yeah. A very specific. Oh,
yes. Yep.
And he praises a rock.
Yeah. He
tried to save people with his faith in the rock. That was amazing.
Yeah.
And Horus is a turtle.
Yep. He's a turtle. Yep.
Yeah.
Shellstein.
Yeah.
And Wolfram. He's kind of wolfy.
Yeah. He's a masked wrestler. He's the only human in the group, but he's very animalistic.
Oh, he's a masked wrestler. It's a wolf mask. That's awesome.
So what goes on there is, like I said, Freddie and I are each other's producers. Like I said, I do a lot of scripted content, and he's my producer on that. When it comes to JoyQuest, I'm his producer.
Gotcha.
And creative director. Those characters I designed.
Nice.
For everybody. I sit down one-on-one with the players, and so we've got, because we'll do it for guests, too. Guests, main players, one-shot players. I think we've got, like, nearly 30 original characters out in the open now.
Oh, my God.
We'll appear in a bunch
true.
Of one-shots now.
Wow.
I'll have designed them all with them. We'll go through their backgrounds, their ethnicities, because country is very important in the JoyQuest world.
Yes, you guys mentioned that, yeah.
He's made this world on the first campaign. Right. Spoilers, it's this one Pangea continent with four countries, and the season we're currently playing, it broke apart. Now there's like five or six different countries that are mix and matches of these countries that used to hate each other. Mm. Now we're seeing these mixed nationalities now. It's really interesting. We keep revisiting this world, and it keeps changing and in flux, and I help him design it.
Right, and see, like, the reasoning with that is, like, as much as we like doing like, little goofs and little jokes and all that stuff, we still like having like that kind of like subtle storytelling where it's like
it's not subtle. I mean, campaign one is an epic.
It is an epic.
Because I said we did that pilot, it was a disaster, and so we got a different group together, and that's when I came in, and I was like, okay, if you can't get it done right, do it yourself, and that's when I fell in love.
But like, what I mean by that in general is like, it's you know, I'm not subtle in general, but the actual story was still like, it was still like being like, it's like frosting on the cake was the comedy and the humor that we had within the group. And then like, we're able to actually tell the story through that way.
Because we intended for the first one to be a comedy more in vein of the Adventure Zone.
Yep.
Because that's how I became a fan of D&D. It was like, oh, comedians play D&D. Okay, now I get it. And so that was having some fun. But we started out as a comedy, and then it got really serious.
Yeah, oh yeah.
We played some really dark characters, but it was really fun. The campaign we're currently playing, we intended to start serious because that's what worked for the first campaign.
Nope.
It immediately turned because we added our good friend on Prescott. He's a Canadian comedian. And he just completely flipped our campaign on its head. And suddenly the story is off the rails and we're just having fun and just goofing off now. And the audience is responding very well to it.
We can go on about this like forever. You have questions.
No. This is great. I have been there before. Mikey and I both run a regular Thursday game. We play GURPS in Worlds of Our Own Creation because GURPS is the generic universal role-playing system and you can do anything in it. And currently we're doing a robot apocalypse game. But the thing that got me is it so often happens when you're running a game, you have this plan, but our gamers are way too veteran to have a plan anymore. And you have to rely on everything. You can't have rails because they will break off the rails and go all kinds of places you didn't expect to go. So you have to learn to be an improv person, to be a good game master or dungeon master, if you have experienced players. So we found, and I want to get your guys' take on this because, Freddie, you were running the game. We found that you almost have to run these games like you're a computer server running a massive multiplayer online game where they can go and do whatever they want, and you just have the characters and areas on their map that they can go to if they want and get an adventure from. But otherwise, if they want to like go into town and raise ruckus, we're just going to have to deal with it.
That's literally what happened before.
And I think I heard you talking about looking around the room and then picking names of stuff. Mm-hmm. I don't know how many times, like, I need a name for the sheriff that they're getting in trouble with right now. And it's like, who authored that book over there? Yes, it's Sheriff...
Sheriff King.
King.
Or Stephen King.
Sheriff Doyle?
There you go.
No, you know, at least that was better than what I did. Because, like, I did, like, make up, like, a last-minute little story for these guys. And I just, like, his name's, Sheriff. I just remember Sheriff. But then I did give him a name later on. But like, it's true. It's kind of like when I'm DMing like these guys, I almost generated almost like, what's the right word for this? It's like, you know, like those polygons like in video games, like they kind of have to like start like slowly loading up as you want. Uh-huh. That's how I picture it. That's why I'm really bad with descriptions. Because it's when I look at it, it's like I'm almost waiting for my really slow processor to be like,
to show up.
There it is. There's there are trees. It's coming, and now there are rocks. Okay,
it's like a JPEG from the '90s loaded in.
Yep.
line by line. I hope she's good looking. Oh, no. Anyway, we'll stay with that.
Like, I feel like it really does like flourish like between myself and the players. It's really with our characters. Our role play with each other and character development is like where it brings... Because there are amazing DMs out there. There's, you know, there's Matthew Mercer. There's, there's McElroy Brothers. Yeah, like they do great. Then they have like different things. Matt's like really great with like descriptions and all that kind of stuff. He can just suck you in. But like with me and you know with us, I found it's just our characters, our role playing, our passion for like our own like little stories that just brings it all together. So you don't exactly need all. The world's greatest. Like, I don't need to pull out a dictionary and be like, it is ubiquitous.
Ubiquitous.
Even though it's like, it
Lord is Ubiquitous.
Yeah. Lord ubiquitous. But yeah.
I think I've heard of him.
He has a lot of knowledge.
Right. Oh, yeah. He plenty of knowledge.
Lord Ubiquitous.
But it's like, you almost don't need that. It's just, if you have like a passion for the game and just having a good time at the table, that's kind of like really all you need. And something special is going to come out of it.
Yeah.
But everyone's got to work together.
Yeah, especially because you guys are setting it up where you're open to that idea. You have the world building and you're filling in the pieces where you can, but you realize that the strength of the game is the improv, and the strength of the improv is the people doing it.
Right.
So if everybody's playing their part and invested in it, then you're going to get a great product, just like the panel we saw the other day. You guys talk about...
Thank you.
You guys talk about campaign and Critical Role. The comedy was there. The voice acting was there. Mm-hmm. So that is a point I do want to talk on. You make an excellent GM, Freddie, because you do have voice acting experience, and you've worked in voice acting world, and it seems like you use that to inform your GMing very well.
Oh, yeah. It's a mixed match, because like for a while with Dungeons & Dragons, when I was getting into it, because I keep plugging in Critical Role so much. But
More than
Role,
our
like,
own channel.
I know.
I know. We talk about other podcasts on
JoyQuest.
Our podcast, too.
So.
JoyQuest.
JoyRide Entertainment.
Well, because thinking like about it, it's like
Joy everything.
They were inspiration to try D&D again after like not the greatest experience in high school.
Gotcha.
And confirming, yes, I really do want to be a voice actor. So like when I started doing D&D, it's a great place to mess with your voices. Like doing like different accents and like being different creatures and stuff or just acting like weird old ancient beings. It's just like it's just a great place to play with anything or being like a kind of like a sly kind of mischievous lady going pass me that bourbon.
Mm-hmm.
You go to a
gaming convention and there's some guys there who are like, you could be a professional voice actor, but you're just some DM at this local convention.
There you go.
There's guys out there who are just out of this world great dungeon masters out there.
It's because like sometimes like, you know, there is that drive for voice acting. It's like you really gotta love that job to do it.
Gotcha.
But like there are also great DMs out there who do have great voices who have that love for D&D or for Pathfinder or Starfire, any of these games really.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fantastic.
But did I hear you guys right? You guys met through D&D? That was the start of the relationship?
Yeah, yes. I basically, because we're primarily a voice acting group.
Oh, that's
right. Okay.
And we met in a mutual voice acting server. And I was shopping around for people to, because like I said, that pilot didn't do as well as I'd hoped. And so I needed a new DM. And Freddie and I just happened to be in the same chat room together. And Freddie immediately goes, oh, I'm a DM. I go, well, I'm desperate. Let's give it a shot. I really want to get the show going. And so, and that's when Freddie came to me and said, no, you should be in this too. And I'm like, I don't know. I mean, like, because I have a history of improv, stand-up, but I'm mostly a writer. And that's what he said. It's like, it's collaborative storytelling. It's improv with dice.
Okay.
It's everything you like. And I'm like, okay, let me do a little bit of research. And that's when I discovered those other podcasts. I'm like, okay. I'm definitely down for this. And then we recorded our pilot for JoyQuest. That wasn't intended to come out, but it was so much fun. And we're like, okay, we're publishing that. Mm-hmm. So we did it as a podcast for about 18 episodes.
Nice.
I'd say.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yep, that's right.
And then after that, then we did the remaining.
Oh, no. It looks like 20 or maybe 22. Because we went to the gear in act.
Oh, you're right. Yeah. So we did about 20. I want to say, because our very first live show on Twitch was a one shot.
It was.
Where we killed my first character.
Oh, I killed that
party. We crucified her. But it's okay. Spoilers. She comes back. She's my main character for the second campaign, so she gets vindicated at least.
That's awesome.
So I heard voice actor server. There's special are there special hidden chat rooms out there? That
okay,
we don't...
it's almost entirely basically when Discord.
Oh, there's guys coming up to me with guns now.
If you've heard of the app Discord,
it's
like that. There's specific ones. We have one just for our channel, but that's exclusive just to our patrons and mutual voice acting buddies.
Cool. But it's a one time fee. Like we're not like
it's permanent now because Patreon changed it.
Oh, I see. Okay,
and it's only $1 to get in there. Like, is that we're super cheap.
Yeah.
We want to be accessible.
Yeah, we're also open to like new voices and all that too.
So you met on this.
We met at a friend's mutual server. Like, there's a bunch of, they're all.
That's interesting. There's a whole world I don't know.
Oh, it's
about,
just a bunch of these little bubbles, like, and spheres
of influence.
Travel far enough, you'll run into professionals. You travel far back enough, it's all famous YouTubers. It's just everyone's just shades of overlapping each other.
Interesting.
So we met during an overlap, is what we did, and now together we become one thing, our own joyride.
See, this is why he's the market man.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Freddie, was this a server that you entered after you got into voice acting? Were you on there already?
It was Charlie's server.
It was Charlie's server.
You have an interesting story, because you kind of fell into voice acting? Did you fall into it? Were you actively pursuing it? Was it kind of tell us how this happened, because it sounds super fun. Because we went to see the panel that was old and new, the old and new panel.
Oh, right. Old and new voice actors.
Yeah, where they had some of the legendary voice actors, and you were representing one of the new.
The new class.
The brand new.
Yeah. X-Men new class.
The usurper, the supplanter.
Yeah, when we were talking to Jason Douglas, he was like, yeah, I'm not sure exactly how I felt about that panel.
He just didn't like being portrayed as a 20-year veteran. But yes, being a 20-year veteran, you can see why that guy kicks so much butt.
Yes,
so.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. Exactly.
I can't believe how long these guys have been doing it. They don't really seem that old, but they've been there since we've been watching them on Toonami and stuff. Yeah. And it's like, oh my gosh.
Yeah. So Freddie, tell us.
Yeah. So it's it's a long story.
No,
like, really, it starts my childhood. No, because like
take us all the
we go back to childhood on this all the time with our guests, because we want to find out where that little kid who played with Hot Wheels, who was on his way to just like watching football every Sunday and drinking beers and doing whatever regular people do, someone took this little nerd seed and put it in their soil.
Yep.
And a nerdy tree grew.
Hey, everyone comes from a different place. Yes. But like, look what you guys have done. This is like, no one can see this because we're a podcast, but like, I kind of like love the setup they have here.
It's great,
and it's freaking like epic. It's like on the move, but like, it was from childhood because like, I love Disney. Mm-hmm. I loved like mimicking voices, and I drove my mother nuts with like me reciting like an entire movie. It would be Beauty and the Beast, and like I would like do every single line all at once, and I would like sit there just reciting it like if I was like a satanic child. Getting ready to sacrifice the movie for something big.
I mean, Disney. They classically condition you to know all their stuff.
Yeah, but the thing with that is, like, it got me into mimicking voices because I love making silly voices. Mm-hmm. And then the first impression was from Xander Mobus, you know, because he's a voice actor for Nintendo now.
Yeah, yeah.
And we went to high school together.
Oh, nice.
And but it wasn't really for long. It was in my sophomore year, and he was a senior, and he was like, I need to find some club members for this project. He's like, hey, you're weird. Yeah, you want to do some voice acting? And I'm just like, oh, that is okay. And I jumped right into it, and I learned like, oh man, this is so fun. I love it, and I started wanting to get more and more into it. I saw like Michael McConaughey at like at AkiCon, which is like a dead convention now up in Washington, and like starting to slowly meet with all these actors. J. Michael Tatum and Josh Grell.
I was here today.
Yeah. But like with J. Michael Tatum, what freaked me out about like I know I'm kind of like jumping from place to place with the Now voice. This when that happened, and then I went to Funny, and I was at the studio. Jamie Rotan just like turned and goes like, oh, I know you. It's Freddie. And I just went, how?
Yeah.
And it was because like he somehow remembered from the convention, because I was in the first row. Josh Grell and J. Michael Tatum, and they're just like saying like, who's got questions? I'm like, I do. I have like a notepad.
Nice.
Like, pen and paper, write down notes. Yeah. What book did you read? Got it. Microphone? Got it. David Vincent, all that stuff.
Yeah, if you've ever watched the anime My Hero Academia, this kid is basically Deku. He's got a notebook. He's a student of the craft. Yeah,
that's true. So like that's kind of like most like the chunkiest part of the story, because like after that, like, you know, with Critical Role like confirming like, yeah, I love voice acting, I'm doing it, and with the D&D stuff, like I just kept going with do you guys know about fan dubs?
I know about fan dubs.
So it's like dubs that aren't available to the commercial audience. People make them themselves, they take it upon themselves.
Exactly. But it's like, it's something for fun and practice. It is never, you want to be like, yeah, here's my resume. I played Jafar. No, you can never do that. But like, we did fan dubs to like to start practicing it, and then like you start connecting and like getting on the website behindthevoiceactors.com. And really, it was a terrible site for casting calls, but it was a great place, like I said before, for meeting people. Mm. And we connected a lot of people. Ivan the Roy was actually on there.
Yep.
You were looking for people.
There you go.
And it's like, for the whole voice acting stuff, it's like, I did nothing but like parodies and fan dubs and just kind of continued, because I knew one day I could do it, and I just wanted to practice my voice as much as possible. So I know I'm now starting to make this more like advice. It's like, yeah, but practice. Just go for it.
Well, that is practice, because that's the best advice. Even I remember that guy who used to draw on TV when I was a kid.
Yep.
And at the end of every episode, he'd be like, practice. So I did. So I went to art school and have an illustration degree.
Oh, that's awesome.
Thank you, Guy, for saying practice, because I did it. So it's good advice.
But that is the nerd passion, too, because you said yourself, you had a notebook full of questions. You were there to learn, and you wanted to get all the information out of it that you can. So that's
awesome. I also got like a rush out of doing it. Like, maybe it's like a drug, because like every time I got into the booth, I immediately felt like I'm in the zone.
But going back to Tatum there.
Tatum.
If you have a passion to learn, if you really want to learn, people want to teach you. And that's why Freddie mostly got his connections even before this contest, is that he would just ask them a million questions, and obviously they're going to keep talking to him because they want to teach. So if you have a passion to learn and perfect that craft and hone it,
talk to them.
People will help you do that.
So, Ivan, what's your background? How did you get onto the voice acting servers?
Oh, my gosh. Mine is crazy. I started out as a film guy.
Yeah. Okay.
When I was a kid, home life wasn't ideal, so I spent most of my childhood in the movie theater.
Mm-hmm.
I would be there I would just live in the movie theater. I'd buy one ticket. I'd stay there all day and watch all the movies.
Mm.
And so I was a big fan of film. But because I lived in a place where there's not much of an industry, I didn't know that was a viable thing. It was just a projector on a big screen. I didn't know those were real people doing something. I thought that was just magic. So I kind of just didn't think about it.
Movie magic.
And so then I went to the University of Michigan, Ann Arbor. I pursued medicine and evolutionary anthropology. I am a smartass.
Oh, wow.
Sure.
Wow.
And I did that. But suddenly I was learning Ann Arbor is like one of the greatest cities in the world. There's anything you want to do there, you can do it. And
Ann Arbor Board of Commerce.
Yeah. there is an independent film scene there. There is comedy, improv, anything you want to do. And I wanted to do it all. So I just started doing stand-up for a little bit. I went to improv first. I did a couple classes, and once again, I'm a smartass. I'm like, I don't need to take classes. I can do this.
I know what I'm doing.
You need one rule in improv. Yes, and. Never say no.
Yeah, not only that, but.
Yes, good and. One. So you know that?
Yes.
You know improv.
Exactly.
So you do that. Then I went to stand-up. That was fun for a while, but it enabled some bad habits. Late hours, too much partying. I wasn't getting anywhere with it.
Right.
And I love to write. So I did a lot of spec script writing.
Mm.
But the thing about spec script writing is it's not a lot of people producing your product. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of people buying your script so no one else can make them. It's a war of ideas is what it is. And I'm like, I want people to make my stuff.
Right.
And then someone said, and that's when I got the best advice my entire life. Someone told me, build your own brand. Make it yourself. You'll learn more about writing process if you actually produce it.
Oh, that's true.
And it was very most valuable advice I ever learned. So then I established my own YouTube channel that was under my name. I did that with my brother for a while.
Nice.
And he was young. He was in middle school. I had a little brother. And we did that for a while. But then the family didn't approve of that. So I had to let him go on that. He's fine. He's doing well now. But it used to be us, a duo. Freddie has become my new duo. I always have a number two with me. But
I'm with you.
Yeah.
Always good to have the buddy system.
Always good to have two brains. Always good. Better than one.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so we did a lot of prank vids. I remember during the Obama election year, we used to go door to door and we sent flyers to people who were going to vote for McCain at the time. And we would try to sell them laced like communist ideals, but sell it in a way that like really far right wing people would agree with. And we filmed that and it was a lot of fun. And basically I would show that at my comedy shows before going on. And I was an improv guy. So I never had a stand-up routine. I would literally pull out a laptop and just do current events. Because this is back when Stephen Colbert was popular and Jon Stewart. It's easy just to talk about the news and banter about the news.
Right, kind of Colin Quinn type stuff.
Yep.
Yeah, that's the. I bet you're. I want to look up your stuff now because the thing I've.
you can no longer find it.
Oh, well.
Yeah, it's been gone to the ether, unfortunately, because that's pre social media explosion.
It sounds like my brand of comedy because I've. Mike and I are big fans of comedians, and one of the reasons we got into podcasting is because so many of our favorite comedians have their own podcasts. And we've learned that the smarter, like intellectually, the comedian is, the funnier their comedy is. And there's even those guys who didn't go to college who could have gone to college,
yes,
and are sickly smart, and they're those Boston comic guys like the Bill Burrs and the Colin Quinns and guys like that,
exactly,
who are like have that.
I better go then.
That goes back to my education at Michigan because I studied evolutionary anthropology, so I literally majored in people. I studied people, culture, biology, evolution, and that's great for comedy.
Yeah, I know,
because comedy is the study of people.
Like a comedy assassin.
Yeah, exactly. It is the study of people. It's bantering with people. It's messing with people, making fun or celebrating them.
Yeah.
And that's why it was such a good mesh. But yeah, so I was pursuing medicine for a while. But like I said, when I got away from home and I was with myself, I had all this freedom. I was like, I think I like entertainment much more. Mm. So I kind of took a step back. I just got a little bit of nursing and technological licenses so I could at least pay the bills. And like I said, I'm a smart guy. So I negotiated my own individual job at a hospital, my local hospital. I work there 2 to 3 days a week if I want to. I just tell them, hey, I'm going to work today. And they need you because they are in dire need from help from all kinds.
Understood.
And so I come there and help. Absolutely. They pay me well. I work when I want to. And then I have many days a week just to focus on this YouTube channel.
There you go.
Man.
But eventually I do want to get not dependent on that anymore, you know?
You can find
I want to do entertainment full time.
No, it's like, I love all the information. It just makes me want to take you somewhere and be like, I want the deal that he has so I can focus on my things.
And I think getting that job at the hospital was more my comedian background.
There you
go. I can say I'm really good with just, that's what they like, because the town that I live in, it's like a town where you go to settle and die. Very depressed people.
Is it in Florida?
No, this is Michigan. this is the tundra. This is dirty Canada.
We apologize, Florida listeners.
Dirty
we apologize.
Canada.
That's what I call it, dirty Canada. We have a lot of Canadian contacts. Dirty and Canada. So they say, where am I from? I don't say Michigan. I say dirty Canada. They get it. Michigan is Canada, but dirtier and unfriendlier.
You know what? Because actually, you remind me, that's one thing I like about doing this. Like, do not give up your day job.
I'm not giving up my day job. It's too good.
You know, it's funny because like you're working in health. Like, you know, assistant like in the hospital, like while I used to do like massage therapy, but, like there's still so many people who look at it and go like, so you're a masseuse. And it's like, no, I do not do favors.
You'd be surprised.
I'm a therapist.
Were you talking about?
Wouldn't you be a masseur?
No, it's also favors. Oh, okay. Just therapist.
We were signing.
I can do clinical work actually.
Yeah, when we were signing, wasn't somebody
I have this thing in my neck? No.
But one of the voice actresses we were talking to, doesn't she work at the Children's Museum?
Yeah.
Oh my god. Because that's the thing about anyone listening who wants to get into the voice acting industry. Most of these people have part-time jobs and do other things, too.
Are you sure it was Kara?
It was probably Kara.
I think it was Kara, yeah.
Yeah,
I hope we're saying it right.
We were at one of Austin Tyndall's panels, and he straight up, like, basically, I saw a bunch of balloons deflate in the audience because he was like, yeah, I'm pretty much only 3 months good for living with this job.
Yeah,
and it was like,
it's never guaranteed. It's never guaranteed work. Mm-mm. You're an independent contractor. That's why I was given that best advice. You are your brand. You make yourself a company to be bought.
That's what I hope. Like, you know,
and you sell your service
with like Jordan in general. Like eventually, because like, as much as I love my massage job and actually like helping people with all the kind of stuff, and you know, you because you're also helping people too. You know, Ivan, like we're trying to get. You know, we want Jordan to be like our main thing. Well, really for me, like I want voice
thing.
Acting. Yeah, voice acting is my full thing. But I, of course, you know, love helping you and all.
Exactly. Yeah, but like I said, I
love you, bro.
How did I connect to the voice acting?
I love you.
Like I said, eventually, the bad habits of the comedian stuff, so I switched over to film. I was selling those scripts.
So you switched over to film. So you went from booze to coke.
maybe literally.
Wait, no, Adderall. Sorry, it's called Adderall.
You have the coke right there.
It's been prescribed by my doctor. No, that's right.
Yeah, that's why I had to quit stand-up. so I was in film, and I would sometimes help people with director of photography. I would assist with that. And so that's why I learned. Basically, yeah, we did that. And because I always watched film as a kid, I always loved film the most. Mm. And I wanted to sell those scripts, and they weren't getting made. I wanted to make them. So I rebranded that YouTube channel. It was no longer my individual comedian channel. I turned to Joyride Entertainment. We started doing anime parodies.
Oh, nice.
I had no contacts in voice acting or editing or anything. I didn't know how to do it. I had to teach myself how to do it. And if I can't make this myself... Well, here's all this lovely anime footage on the dark web just to take and play with.
See, I told you we would go to the dark web.
As long as you know, as long as you understand how fair use works, which
exactly.
is a whole nother podcast.
That's why I can do
2-hour lectures on copyright and fair use.
Interesting.
But there's a whole community just for anime parodies. And so you learn there. I found it. And I was having trouble making connections there. Like I said, I'm the odd man out. I'm the smart ass. I'm the jock, too. I didn't just go to Michigan to do medicine. I played hockey there.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You would be a hockey guy.
I boxed, too. I was a ruffian. And that doesn't mesh well with the anime community too well. And I had to learn to chill out a bit. So I had to find my own contacts. I got a lot of young voice actors who were just kids at the time. And develop them, and now they're getting jobs at Funimation and stuff.
Actually, yeah, you were very helpful in developing of my own acting as well.
Yep.
Because the thing is, at the time, with parodies and stuff, it's kind of very realistically talent pools out there in the industry.
Gotcha.
There has to be a sense of trust. So if someone's gonna trust you, or at least give you like a small bit, really, Ivan was the only one who gave me that starting chance. And once I started doing more, because before
our parodies, you were just doing fan dubs, right?
Yep, that was it. It was for Kingdom Hearts.
Yeah,
fan dubs.
And parodies. Yeah,
that's awesome.
And parodies are basically just the step up from that. Instead of reading other people's lines verbatim, you're writing your own lines now. And Joy Entertainment, our parody sector, is very distinct from the rest of the abridging community. We're very narrative-based. It used to traditionally be comedy.
Gotcha.
And I still do comedy, but I like to also get very serious and very dour. And initially that took people aback until they got accustomed to it. Now you see lots of abridgers following that, doing darker narratives now. And it was fun to have that influence on the community. But now that I've had my fun there, like I said, I did comedy, I did stand-up, I did film for a little bit, and I wasn't impressed. I did this anime parody. Now I parodied other people's content. I want to make my own content now.
That's right.
So that's why we got to the Dungeons & Dragons, because that is an original IP factory.
Yeah,
for
sure.
People make the characters for you, and I co-help them design those characters. He helps co-designs the world. We let them play in it.
Yep.
And we have all these fun original characters to play with, and so we're doing that. And then soon we're gonna start trying to make our own original manga.
Manga. Oh yeah.
That's where we're eyeing next.
Okay.
Because the biggest thing about Jordan in general is we as much as we goof on animes and all that kind of stuff, we are a channel that focuses on storytelling. We have lots of fun stories.
It's literally our slogan. We're storytellers. You enjoy the ride.
Awesome.
Which was a little bit of pretentious initially, because that's back when people were a little bit taken aback by what I was doing. I said, enjoy the ride. Sit down. Shut up. Enjoy yourself. And that's why I didn't have many friends in the beginning.
If you're not having a good time, then that's your problem.
Because I am pretentious. I have a big film background, and I have a big lexicon, and I want to hit people with it.
We warned you. We got really excited about this.
I'm telling you right now, Ivan, I love you so much right now.
Thank you. I love you too.
No, you're my kind of guy.
I love people who give me attention.
Also, spoiler alert, I'm a youth hockey coach.
It's a hockey bond. We can't compete, Freddie. Yeah. We're going to be best friends, Kevin and I.
I should warn you. I have a background in boxing. I played on a hockey team. Mostly I just fought people on hockey teams. I was the goon.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that doesn't happen.
I was a designated goon.
As much anymore.
No, but, not anymore. That's a dying breed.
So I can hear some fans of Anime Dallas who are like, talk to Freddy about his characters that we know. I don't know. Yeah, no. Yes, I can channel our fans in the future. Yes, that's my superpower.
What characters?
Is there anything that while you've been here, people are like, oh, you're this guy who's my favorite thing or something?
No.
I mean, no, really?
No. Well, I mean, here's the. It's like we were talking to Thomas McKee. Yeah, Thomas McKee, VA on Twitter.
He's a very fun
guy, very experienced guy. He's been doing a lot of bits. That he is a charmer. But anyway, the point is about it, though, we were talking about this, and he's right. It's like, oh, I voiced my hero. Everyone goes like, what?
Yeah.
You did?
Okay, yeah. Because we did signing in the main lobby today.
Yeah.
That's the rest
of the weekend, we were in the exhibition, where it's a little bit quieter.
A little bit quieter.
And we sat there, and we just weren't getting any attention because we're new. We're rookies. We're fresh meat. Right. And then immediately, Freddie mentions My Hero Academia. Big line of children.
There you go.
Kids love My Hero Academia. We parody My Hero Academia. That's where we get most of our audience from.
I brought 250 copies because I wanted to be sure it didn't run out. And I was like, oh my God, I just realized, am I even going to give away 10? Surprisingly, I gave away 50.
Hell yeah.
I was super shocked by that.
Because we weren't sure if we were going to do the autograph booth this year, because we came here last year and we stayed very low key. We didn't get too involved. We did one panel. And I think you showed up for Now Voice This.
Yes, I was the judge for that with Chuck.
There you go.
Yeah, but otherwise, we stayed say, Loki, this year we said, even if it's awkward, even if we don't give away enough prints or make enough contacts, we would at least try. It would be a learning experience. And man, did we learn a lot this weekend? But not learn, we did a lot of cool stuff. I mean, we're doing this podcast right now. We didn't think this would happen.
Yeah, we're really honestly touched and like honored that you guys would want us here. Oh, it's so cool.
We're touched and honored that you'll come talk to us, because we've been doing this for about a year and some change. Yep. And we're rookies too. This table's actually... Yeah.
Don't tell John Swayze.
This table's commandeered.
John's so laid back. That's the reason why we love this convention. He's such a chill dude.
That was the thing. We're like, this table's been sitting there like all Friday. No one was at this table.
Yeah, last year too. When we were in the Now Voice competition, we came down here and started talking. We literally sat here and started talking to the people who were in that contest.
Oh, yeah.
And we were just like having a meet and greet with people for that after that panel was done.
Yeah, I was actually like, did you guys want to, you want to talk about the Now Voices stuff?
Yeah, you should definitely talk about that.
But the lesson is, I've Instagrammed and tweeted this out, the lesson to anybody who goes to conventions with a podcast or anything, the lesson is always bring your banner, because we didn't have a table set up here.
Yep.
We brought our banner anyway. Then we asked nicely about this empty table.
Right.
And now we have our beautiful banner on the front.
Pretend you're important. Assert yourself.
Yeah. Okay? No.
What's the worst that's going to happen? They're going to tell you no.
Yeah. Guess what? Fake it till you make it is real.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
That was a good move.
It's a common theme for all of us here, too, because we all, you got to show up with a passion. And if you show up ready to do what you want to do, then it usually pays off in some form or fashion.
Yeah.
Well, I've got the passion, but I don't like serving people's toast. Like, I'll always be like, "Oh, is this okay?"
Exactly. So I'm the toe stepper of this group. Yeah. He goes, "I don't want to talk." I said, "Freddie, you stay in that green room. You talk to every voice actor this weekend.
You step on their toes until they cry.
You kick them."
That's the thing. Shout out to our producer Scott, who couldn't be here this weekend, who is our toe stepper honor.
There you go.
So Mikey and I had to like unshell ourselves, and
we had to get used to stepping on some toes.
Come here next year, Scott. We'll step on each other's toes.
Hell yeah.
You'd like.
Well,
Scott
I love
a
step off.
Maybe that's why I love this guy so much. He reminds me of Scott, doesn't he?
He does. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Totally.
I'm going to call you Scott instead of Ivan now.
There you go.
Okay. That's an honor.
The go-getter attitude. But you mentioned a manga. Oh, wait. We're going to talk about voices now?
No, talk about voices. No, the manga is pretty much NDA at this point.
Okay.
There's not much I can say other than... if you want to bring this back to anime, I was always a film fan, but as a kid, I was also shonen trash.
Ooh.
I love Dragon Ball Z. Anything
where
there's cool people with cool hair fighting.
Hajime no Ippo, dude.
Yeah. But, Hajime no Ippo is the best. It's the best one. I can't say much about the project right now. It's NDA, but we've got like 10 scripts, so 10 chapters already ready to go. It's just a matter of finding the artist, and that's what we're doing. We're basically shopping for artists right now.
Nice.
And all I can say about it is, like I said, I have a background in political satire. It's a shonen it's a political thriller disguised as a kid's shonen.
Ooh. Oh. Subversive.
Yeah,
I like
that's what it is. I cannot wait.
But that's awesome, because one of the great rules, and I'm sure you know, for good kid stuff, you write for adults.
Yeah, exactly.
That's
exactly
right.
Respect the intelligence of children.
Yep.
Yeah. Absolutely. They're really definitely into it.
I keep seeing that everywhere.
The best children's show, I mean, Avatar: The Last Airbender, Batman, the animated series. Yeah. It's always the darker, more intelligent ones, the ones that kids appreciate and grow up with.
Absolutely.
Yep.
So I won't get deeper into the NDA because I don't want to cause any problems. But more on the lines of the future for JoyQuest, was this like? Yeah. Was this the finish line for the year as like the ultimate goal, or do you guys have plans on the horizon already
for the next JoyQuest? He's been begging me to do a live in-person panel show since we started. Like literally the first day I hired him.
There you go.
He goes, "Hey, can we do a live in-person show?" And I'm like, "Who the hell would want to see that?"
Because a bunch of people
as we learned last night, lots of people want to see it.
We were surprised.
Yeah. But basically the deal was, I said, maybe when we get 50,000 subscribers on YouTube, then I'll think about it.
We were close.
And we basically got really close to it. I think by the end of the year, we'll have 50,000.
Awesome.
And we got very close. And Freddie went, "Ivan, can we do it? We're going to Anime Dallas." And I said,
"Only."
And this is why we love John. I said, "If John can get," because you can't do D&D in an hour and a half, maybe.
No, right. It was like
2 hours is the comfort zone for a one shot.
Same with Monopoly.
Yep, same with Monopoly.
Monopoly
and I said, "Okay, Freddie, if you can get John to give us 2 hours, which is impossible, if you can give us 2 hours, heck yeah, let's do it." He emails John, and me, within 5 minutes, John goes, heck yeah, let's do this.
No, not 5 minutes.
Ten minutes, sure.
A day.
I just remember I was at work, and you emailed me, and I was like, okay, we're doing this.
No, you keep things up. It was a day from the email, and I called you.
At work, while I'm literally, like, doing heart surgery.
Yep, you are correct.
And of course, I dropped the phone in the patient. Oh,
I mean, it's
we're
fine.
We're still selling that lawsuit.
You got a new phone, so that's good.
Yeah. Don't make us separate you two. It's going to be
I got a new phone.
Ivan has these dad rules. It sounds like the rules I have. My kids, I have 13-year-old twin boys, and they wanted Instagram really bad. Yep. And we had kind of like no social media. And they're like, but we can follow your podcast on Instagram. And I was like, yeah. I was like, when we reach this many followers, because I'm like, we're almost at the amount of followers, which is a milestone. And they're like, we would be those followers. I'm like, nah, it has to happen organically. And then it happened organically, and I'm like, I guess you can get Instagram now. And they're like, yay.
Yeah, where you at right
it's
now?
Like, you sound like me, Ivan. Yep. Like,
oh, no, I'm the grouchy dad of the company. I wear a lot of hats, and the biggest hat is grouchy dad who ruins all the fun.
You know, I need to get you a mug that says dad or something.
Dad. World's grouchiest dad.
Yeah, world's grouchiest dad.
World's grouchiest dad. There we go.
That's the one we need.
Something with a little more distinction.
No, forget it. I'm just going to commission that somewhere.
Well, I'll try and make this organic. We were talking Instagram. We were talking followers. Where can people keep up with Joyride Entertainment and all things related to Joyride Entertainment?
Yeah, mainly on YouTube. You just type in Joyride Entertainment.
And Twitter.
On the YouTube. And on Twitter, Joyride Ent. Yeah, like we abbreviate because entertainment's a lot.
Right.
On a Twitter handle. But yeah, just type
too many letters now.
But yeah, just type in Joyride on Twitter. It should immediately show you. We're a big red J and R together. It's a great logo. I love it. But yeah, that's where you primarily find us. But as we learned this weekend, we definitely need to get an Instagram.
There you go.
The kids are on Instagram, Freddie.
Oh, I know, but like, I don't know what to do with Instagram.
And the even younger kids are on TikTok. Which,
yes. Right. Now we've talked about the parody scene. People are trying to pull the parody scene onto TikTok. And it's not the right idea. So we're avoiding TikTok.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
We're putting all our, because we don't want to spread our audience too thin.
Instagram's
definitely not good, though. We're sticking to YouTube for now, but when we get this manga going, we want to extend over to Webtoons is where we'll go for that. Because they're very buddy-buddy with Crunchyroll. And they've been actually, now Crunchyroll's not developing Webtoons comics into shows. And I'm going, I can do that. So we'll go there and try that.
We're hoping
within the next year or two that we'll finally get this manga going. And otherwise, the other place you can find us is twitch.tv/joyridegaming. That's where we do the live shows at noon Eastern every Saturday for JoyQuest.
Yeah, and a bunch of gaming streams too. Like when we just want to relax and stuff. Yeah, we do koi streams.
Yeah, Tuesday nights we'll play Smash Bros with our audience.
Oh, that's where I don't relax.
And they love that. and then all our voice acting comedian buddies. They'll host their own streams throughout the week. We give them access to that channel.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And they get to plug themselves and get to play games with their audience. It's a lot of fun.
There you go.
Yep. And then if you can't miss the live, if you miss the live shows on Twitch, then you go to back to our YouTube channel on Mondays. We'll put the broadcast up.
Yes, for JoyQuest. Yeah,
awesome. Monday's a good day. That's when we put our episodes up.
It is.
Hey.
Yeah.
But I love the nerdiness of it. You're not just satisfied with one facet of media. You guys are branching out.
Consume it all. Participate in it all.
That's one of
because life's too short, man.
Like, are you guys on YouTube as well?
We are not. We are audio only at the moment.
YouTube,
like you guys, well, not like you guys, but as far as plans for the future, YouTube is on our next to-do list for sure.
Oh, I
that's
know.
Our
okay.
leveling up.
Do you have a channel now?
We do not have a YouTube channel.
Get one
now.
Right
no,
now?
No, we do have a YouTube channel.
You do?
Yes, but there's nothing on it.
See, he's the brains. He's the situation.
I set it up a long time ago.
See?
It's been ready.
They need to go up there for sure.
Yeah, he said make sure you have it now and hold on to it. Because
it's been ready and waiting.
Yeah, because that's another two-hour podcast is the business of YouTube.
Yeah.
It's crazy right now. It's just the crazy wild west.
No, there's no time for this.
There's no time. I'm just saying.
Oh, don't think I'm not getting your information and then bugging your smart brain.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I want to keep calling me for more podcasts. I'll just talk for 3 hours.
You said 2 hours on fair use, 2 hours on YouTube channels. Yeah. So
5 hours on my life.
Okay, yeah.
Awesome. 10 hours on the evolution of primates.
We're booking all of this now.
We'll frame it as a live role play somehow.
Just
we'll
rebrand the podcast as the Leroy Show.
I'll just talk to you about D&D and voices. That's it.
Yeah, but D&D is cool, though. We'll talk about D&D all the time.
D&D is cool. I do love talking about it.
Oh, you guys are a delight. You guys are wonderful.
So
this has
fun.
Been great.
Oh, we had a blast, too.
Oh, yeah.
Dang it. We got to go.
We
do. Yeah, people seem to really enjoy us now.
You know, if we get a chance to do this again, though, we can do more now voices stuff later. But just one last plug, and I'll definitely do it. Keep your eyes open for it, because it is a great opportunity to, not only, give it your best shot, but also, to meet up with others. because it was a great like pool of like other people to meet each other to
now voice this contest.
Oh, absolutely,
it's so much fun, and it really brings a bunch of voice actors together.
It's so cool.
It's just I mean, don't worry about winning. Just have fun and talk to people, engage with them.
Absolutely.
That's the best kind of community where you can just dive in and hang out and have a good time.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. So, Freddie Hines, Ivan Leroy, thank you so much for joining us. Find them, Joyride Entertainment. Sit back and enjoy the ride.
Enjoy the ride.
We want to thank
aggressively.
We want to thank them so much. We want to thank Anime Dallas 2019, all you guys for listening. Not Scott Productions for our equipment, Jazzar for music, that guy Brad for doing our announcing, the local game store in Richardson, Texas for being our local game store at The Best LGS on Facebook. Thanks everybody so much for listening. Thanks guys for being on.
Absolutely.
Thank
this was
you.
Fun.
See you later, guys.
Woohoo. Bye. Adios.